Welcome to the InfoWars Nightly News. I'm your host, Jakari Jackson. It's August 27th, 2014, and here are our top stories.
Tonight, massive child abuse covered up out of political correctness? Then one city council tells their police to get rid of the MRAP. And the VA trashes the vets they're supposed to serve, portraying them as Oscar the Grouch.
Just stand up and complain.
All that and more on tonight's InfoWars Nightly News.
And welcome back. Here at InfoWars, we occasionally, or more than occasionally, get called conspiracy theorists because we don't read off a government-approved teleprompter. So if you said something back in 2012 like, Obama wants to take your guns, and people say, oh, that's a conspiracy theory. You guys, you conspiracy guys keep saying that. I'm like, no, I'm not saying that. President Obama was saying that. He said that in multiple interviews, the infamous Bitter Clinger clip, also in the debates with Mitt Romney saying, I don't like these AK-47s. I don't like these cheap handguns. But if you were ahead of the curve and you were telling people this back in 2012 or even before that, you were a conspiracy theorist, even though that has very much been proven right. Obama comes out after the Senate legislation fails, and he says up there with Joe Biden and all these other people, I'm very disappointed that Americans didn't go for this pretty much gun-grabbing scheme. So now, with that in mind, we have this article, 10 Conspiracy Theories That Came True. Number one, Operation Ajax and False Flag Terror. After decades of denial, in August 2013, the CIA finally admitted its role in staging the coup in Iran, which led to the overthrow of Mohammad Mossadegh in 1953 under the umbrella of Operation Ajax. Under Ajax, the CIA oversaw covert operations, which included acts of false flag terror, which claimed the lives of some 300 people. But if you say our government has been involved in false flag terror, you're a conspiracy theorist, even though the CIA has come out and since admitted this. Let's go to number two, the Gulf of Tonkin. On August 4th, 1964, President Johnson went on national television and told the nation that North Vietnam had attacked U.S. ships. Johnson and his Secretary of Defense, Robert McNamara, had bamboozled Congress and the American people. In fact, North Vietnam had not attacked the USS Maddox, as the Pentagon had claimed, and the, quote, unequivocal proof of an unprovoked second attack against the U.S. warship was a ruse. We'll go now, for the sake of time, to number three, Operation Gladio, state-sponsored terror blamed on the left. Following the Second World War, the CIA and Britain's MI6 collaborated through NATO on Operation Gladio, an effort to create a stay-behind army to fight communism in the event of a Soviet invasion of Western Europe. In August of 1980, Gladio operatives bombed a train station in Bologna, killing 85 people. So there you go, and that's just three of the 10 that you can find in this report. You can also go to InfoWars.com to go to the article in the comment section and add your own things that you think should be into this report. Because, you know, it does happen in the United States of America, other countries around the world. But if you talk about these things, you are a conspiracy theorist. The only conspiracy theory is denying that these things actually took place. Let's now talk about, from those conspiracy theories, to the theory of climate change. And now people say, don't you believe in climate change? I believe in weather changes. I believe that some days it's hot, some days it's cold, some days it's raining, some days it's not. But in my mind, the conspiracy theory starts when you say we should pay carbon credits to whoever or whatever organization to make it rain more, to make it stop raining. And then they try to tie it in, mixing apples and oranges. They say, don't you recognize we have a pollution problem? Yes, I see Gulf oil spills. I see landfills full of trash and stuff. But to say that a landfill in Kentucky is somehow involved in a tsunami in Japan is just completely asinine in my humble opinion. So, yes, I do recognize pollution problems, but I don't think that's directly related to the situation of climate change. Obama pursuing climate accord in lieu of treaty. In preparation for this agreement to be signed at a United Nations summit meeting in 2015 in Paris, the negotiators are meeting with diplomats from other countries to broker a deal to commit some of the world's largest economies to enact laws to reduce their carbon pollution. But under the Constitution, a president may enter into a legally binding treaty only if is approved by two-thirds majority of the Senate. So Obama says he's pretty much going to sidestep the Senate. He's going to say, I'm going to name and shame these countries into getting down with these carbon credits. As you recall, the Secretary of Defense, Leon Panetta, has come out and he said famously that we don't really need Congress's approval. We'll just go ahead and do what we want as the office of the president, and then we'll tell Congress if we get around to saying it. And you guys have seen the clip on YouTube or wherever it's sourced. And the guy's like, whoa, I can't believe you actually said that. And Panetta said, yeah, yeah, I said it, and then I'll say it again, because that's how these guys operate. And everybody always talks about getting rid of the president and impeachment and all that stuff. And I'm not saying that's a bad idea, but I'm reminded of that movie American Hustle with Christian Bale. He's saying you have to do it from the feet up. A lot of people, they just want to change the face. They want to change the head. They say, let's get rid of Obama, bring in Hillary or Christie or whoever the guy's going to be in the next election. But they don't want to change the fundamental system. If you don't change the fundamental system, all you're going to do is allow the next guy to come in and do the same things that the old guy was doing. And let's talk about what the old guy is doing right now. Border chaos. 375,000 pending immigration cases. Obama lawyers AWOL. Top federal judges Wednesday said that the nation's immigration courts are in chaos with a backlog of cases at a historic high of 375,000 for just 227 judges, leading to a minimum three-year delay in hearings for illegal immigrants. Judge Denise Newland, the vice president of the judges union, said that the courts have the status of Cinderella, having to scrounge up for supplies, support, and money. She said that the lack of money forces judges to delay cases and that it's allowing those who are not entitled to be here to linger. And that's exactly what's happening in the United States of America, because you have all these people coming over the border, not just from Central and South America. You've seen the top analysts, security experts say you have potential ISIS people coming in through the border. So it's not, you know, we don't like the Central Americans issue. It's a national security issue that we need to secure these borders to make sure we understand who's coming in. And then they'll say, well, it's all about the children. We've seen the reports about 10% of the people coming in are actually children, because as you imagine, the journey is difficult for a full-grown adult, let alone a child or a group of children traveling without a chaperone. And on top of that, you know, under the DREAM Act, they say that you can be considered a child up to age 31. That is definitely not a child. So use all the smoke and mirrors to get you to become a bleeding heart for the people coming over the border. And yes, I definitely respect people trying to come here, but you need to do it the legal and lawful way. When we went out to California this last time I was out there talking about immigration, I met a young lady from Singapore. She spent several years and several thousand dollars coming here, but she came here the legal and lawful way. If you're here in the city of Austin, you probably met Raphael. He's an activist running around everywhere. He came from South America. He said it took him years and it took him more than a little bit of money to do it, but he came here the legal and lawful way. If you want to come here, just please do it the legal, lawful way, because otherwise it seems like we're encouraging, no, it doesn't seem like, we are encouraging the people from these other countries to come here with the actions that we're granting them. You know, come here to America, you get to stay here for at least 3 years, because that's how long it takes us to get to your case. And not only that, the Border Patrol will give you a bus ticket to go any place that you want to go. And not bringing this all on the Border Patrol or on the ICE agents or whoever else. Many of those organizations, Border Patrol, ICE, they have good-hearted people who want to secure the borders, or at least just decent people, you know, who just want to get a paycheck. But they don't like, you know, bringing everybody into this country, shipping them any place, and then just, you know, we'll deal with it later. They don't have that we'll deal with it later kind of attitude. But I still don't like being stopped 100 miles inland and being asked if I'm an American citizen. I'm not answering that question in the United States of America. And something that somebody else needs to answer for, FEMA camps. FEMA is supposedly footing a majority of the bill for the Texas Safe Shelter Initiative, an ambitious program started in 2010, which sought to erect about 35 expensive dome structures in communities along the state's coastline. Many of the domes, which can cost small towns anywhere from just under $1 million to more than $10 million, will ideally be outfitted with generators, and I stress the word ideally, trucks and emergency supplies, and can hold anywhere from 1,000 to 4,000 people depending on the circumstances. They will also double as community centers and gymnasiums while they're not being used for emergencies. So, you know, there it is, proof positive that FEMA camps do exist. This is probably the number one thing that people, skeptics come up to me on the street. They find out I work for Alex, or they hear me talking about something. Say, oh, you guys believe in those FEMA camps? Yes, there are FEMA camps. Regardless of what you want to call them, you don't call them emergency centers, resettlement camps, whatever you choose to refer to them as, they do exist. Whether it's something like this that's built for emergencies or something that's just used for emergencies, such as the Superdome. And let's see what the people thought, how great the Superdome was during Hurricane Katrina.
When you first arrived on the scene and we heard pop, 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 and there were gunshots fired before we even got down off the off-ramp, yeah, I knew my life was in danger.
There was no power, air conditioning, water. Thousands were stranded in wretched conditions.
The toilets were overflowing onto the floors, and all of that stuff contributed to the general chaos and lawlessness. It was truly apocalyptic. We had rape victims. We had assault victims.
And I'm not saying that FEMA camps are inherently evil, but you have a situation such as what happened in New Orleans where people are crowded into this very confined space. And, you know, they pretty much didn't have any place else to go. And the people who did, the people in the high and dry areas, they had their guns taken door to door by gunpoint. National Guard and police coming to take them away. So let's say you were in the Superdome. Well, I think I'll just go home. Okay, you can go home, but you won't have any gun to protect yourself. Well, Mr. Officer, there are, you know, looters and rioters out here. Well, that's your problem. You can stay in the hellhole known as the Superdome, or you can go home and take your chances. And that's pretty much the either or that they were left with. So in those situations, I want to at least be able to do what I want to do, you know, what I think is best for me and or my family. Now let's move on to something that the people in this community said wasn't the best for their family. Davis City Council tells police to have a plan for getting rid of the MRAP military vehicle in the next 60 days. The city council adopted the resolution to come up with a plan to get rid of the vehicle. A petition is circulating asking the council to press the police to either get rid of it or destroy it. Well, good luck destroying that thing. The vehicle, worth nearly $700,000, didn't cost the Davis Police Department a dime, as it was acquired through a federal government surplus program. The MRAP was developed by the military for wars in Iraq and Afghanistan. Let me say that again. Developed by the military for wars. So you have something that's developed for war, and you're using it on an American street. That's a good way to build up trust within your community. Then the people who are against these MRAPs in their city, they saw what happened in the city of Ferguson, Missouri. They said, hey, we don't want that to happen here. You know, we understand you may have riots, you may have looters, you know, the situations to deal with. But as you guys recall, how many times did you see the MRAP pull up and chase people off who were rioting or looting? You didn't see that. You saw them pull up and shoot at peaceful protesters with tear gas and with rubber bullets. And I recall that first week that we were there, let's see, Michael Brown was shot over the weekend, and the riots and the looting broke out, and we got there that first Tuesday. And when we got there, you know, the police, they're out there aiming guns at people, putting red dots on people's chest and all that. And, you know, they'd come out there and do that. But a couple of days later, when the riots and the looting happened again, you know, where were they at? They were just less than 5 minutes up the road, less than a 5 minute walk up the road on West Florissant. But they didn't come down with the doom and gloom to chase off the rioters and the protesters. No, they wanted to target the innocent civilians, the majority of which were very peaceful. Yes, you had the provocateurs, the guys throwing the bottles, the people throwing the bricks, but the majority of the people were good, innocent people. And as a caller called into the Alex Jones Day Show, I believe it was yesterday, he said, you know, we talk about the police, and we always say that not all the police are bad, and not all the police are bad. But you have to say the same things for the general populace, where you say, you know, the majority of the people out there were good, peaceful people, so you can't subject everybody to these tear gas, to these sound cannons, to these rubber bullet measures, just to stave off a few people. And that was a very good point that that guy brought up. And something else that we want to bring up, how veterans are being treated in the United States of America. Because you guys all know, we've seen the VA scandals. These guys come back from combat, and they can't even get a date at the VA. You know, Staff Sergeant Joe Biggs, he goes in, and they just give him an appointment for another appointment for another appointment. He never gets anything actually done. They just give him the runaround. And now they're saying if you have a problem with the way you're being treated, if you complain about this, they're comparing you to Oscar the Grouch. That's right, the Sesame Street character. And it says, while the president continues to vow to reform and improve the veterans' health care system, the VA office in Philadelphia has been forced to issue an embarrassing apology for an internal training guide titled What to Say to Oscar the Grouch, Dealing with Veterans During Town Hall Claims Clinics, which was obtained by the Philadelphia Inquirer. So they said, yeah, these guys, they're Oscar the Grouch. They have issues. They're mad. And why wouldn't you be mad? You served your country for these benefits. You served your country for the GI Bill to get your education or to whatever end you want to take it. And now you can't get those benefits after you're out. Because you guys see the commercial. They'll show you the recruitment commercials. The big tough guys are hopping out the military vehicles and off the boats and guys climbing out the ocean and all that. And then you see the Super Bowl halftime show, and the guy's he's running out in the field, and he's hugging his daughter, and it's all good, and the fireworks are going off, and everybody's crying. But then he's crying because he can't go to the VA clinic and get an appointment for his knee or his shoulder or whatever's hurting him. They don't want you after your service is done. They just want to pretty much use and abuse you, and then after your service is done, just like, good luck taking care of yourself. And talking about people who can't take care of themselves, children are being sexually abused, but it's not being reported because it's politically incorrect. Sexual abuse of 1,400 children unreported due to racism fears. Children as young as 11 were trafficked, beaten, and raped by large numbers of men between 1997 and 2013 in Rotherham, South Yorkshire. The Council Commission review into child protection revealed, reports the Daily Mail. Victims of the assaults were doused with petrol and threatened to be set alight, intimidated with guns, as well as forced to watch brutal rapes involving other children while being told they would face the same fate if they spoke out. And they said, we can't really report on this because of the nationality of the perpetrators. So these are a bunch of Pakistani men, largely. But it's politically incorrect to point that out to people. Just like when we saw the Marine the other day get attacked by a group of a black mob. And I'll say they're a black mob because it was a racial hate crime. They targeted this guy because he was white, and they thought it was justice for Mike Brown. And I don't think Mike Brown wants that at all, to have violence, senseless violence perpetrated in his name. I don't think that's what he wants one bit. But yes, the political correctness of America, you can't even say that, you know, people were raped or robbed or whatever because you don't want to upset the status quo. And somebody who I'm very happy to see upsetting the status quo, Louisiana Governor Jindal, and he's reportedly set to sue the federal government over Common Core. And it says in the suit, the governor argues that the Education Department's $4.3 billion grant program effectively forces states down a path toward a national curriculum in violation of the state sovereignty clause in the Constitution and federal laws which prohibit national control of education content. And good for you, Governor. I'm glad to see somebody speaking out against this. We've seen people like Mrs. Iserby say that this is the deliberate dumbing down of America, and I could not agree more. You know, it seems like the standards have dropped since I was in high school and I graduated, I guess, but yeah, about 10 years ago or so. So this is the situation going on, and you don't want your children to be taught that 2 plus 2 equals 5. You want them to be taught that 2 plus 2 equals 4. Be sure to stick around because we have a special report, a series of special reports from Napa Valley. The crew is on the ground talking to the residents about how their lives have been shaken by the recent earthquakes. This is the InfoWars Nightly News.
Alex Jones here to tell you about how you can help spread liberty worldwide while also enjoying what I have found to be the best tasting 100% organic coffee on the planet. For more than a decade, my favorite coffee has come from the high mountains of southern Mexico, where the Chiapas farmers grow their unique shade-grown Arabica beans. We have now managed to secure these sought-after beans in a highly customized blend. Discover and try a bag of the Patriot Blend 100% organic coffee at InfoWarsLife.com. This coffee gives you a long, smooth pick-me-up for hours without the headaches and heartburn that so many other coffees give me personally. Hands down, this is my favorite coffee, and it's taken us years to secure connections directly to the Chiapas Mexican farmers. Drop by the site today, order a bag or two, and I don't think you're going to be disappointed. Available in original or with our immune support infusion blend, you will be supporting a free press, all the while enjoying a truly great-tasting cup of my favorite coffee. Available at InfoWarsLife.com.
City of Austin tap water versus filtered City of Austin tap water.
I can like taste dirt in it.
God knows what's in this.
This has an aftertaste. Tastes like Austin water?
Yeah, it does. Ugh.
These people just sampled City of Austin tap water straight from the faucet. Next, we had them try a sample of tap water filtered with a ProPure G2.0 filtration system.
High quality H2O.
That one is better.
Tastes like nothing.
Yep, I know what good water tastes like. It's good water.
Most tap water contains added substances like fluoride, chlorine, Monsanto's deadly pesticide, glyphosate, and many others. Studies prove that these substances are linked to an assortment of major health issues, including tooth decay, lowered IQ, and even cancer.
It tastes like you're drinking out of the lake when you're drinking tap water.
Yeah, it has that processed flavor to it.
The ProPure G2.0 filtration system removes these deadly substances and many more, leaving only fresh-tasting, deliciously clean water.
Okay, this is very tasty.
It's good water.
Refreshing.
It's good.
Go to InfoWarsStore.com today. Use promo code WATER and save 10% off your ProPure purchase. Again, that's InfoWarsStore.com or call 1-888-253-3139.
Leanne McAdoo reporting for InfoWars.com. I am here with William and Dino Sheps. They are fans, but they also live here in Napa. Wanted to come say hi. You guys actually experienced the quake. Tell me about it.
Yeah, well, I woke up and I was terrified. I mean, it was like a bulldozer was rolling through my house, and, you know, I've never been woken up to something like that. You know, we had one a month prior. It was like a 3.5, and it woke me up. So when I felt this one, I kind of knew what's like that it was an earthquake. And then, yeah, it hit, and then all the power was out. And I tried to call my brother, and I got a hold of him before the phones got turned off. And I was just in cold sweats sitting on my bed, and I was just telling my brother, give me a second, because I was just completely in shock and nauseous from the 6.1. And then all you heard, you know, when I went to bed, all you heard, I left my screen open, all you heard was just sirens and dogs barking and helicopters. That was it. So, yeah.
Wow.
And then there you go.
State of emergency.
Yeah, absolutely. I honestly thought the Russians were dropping something. So it was pretty violent, you know, and that's just, you know, it's just scary. You feel helpless in situations like that. And you just gotta kind of roll with it, and you know, pray for the best. I definitely am thankful our house is okay, and we had power. PG&E was great. They, you know, they really were. In emergencies like this, to see the community get together and work as a team, and you know, it was really good to see. Honestly, you know, but we are right on the fault line, so you know, we've had 60 aftershocks, and you know, like we had one last night. My brother was talking about it was pretty scary. You don't know if the big one's gonna come or if we're done, or, you know, so you just kind of roll with it. But as far as everything is going, you know, I'm glad to see the reporters out here and covering the news. And, you know, it's bad, but it's good. It's like a test to see how the community, like I was talking, you know, how everybody's going to work together and perform in emergencies. So, but as far as, you know, the earthquake, you know, we're on the San Andreas fault line. So we are an earthquake country. So this, the risk of, I call it the hazards of life, you know, and, you just take those risks.
I am on Meadowbrook Drive in a beautiful residential working-class community right here about a mile and a half outside of downtown Napa. This community is filled with friendly faces and family and a lot of children running around playing. And unbeknownst to them, this entire neighborhood was built directly on top of this relatively unknown fault line that was here. And you can see where the road has just separated into, it was pushed up against each other directly in this area. Sidewalks are about 3 feet high in some places. True to California fashion, some of the children have seen this as their opportunity to have their own makeshift bike ramps and skate ramps, trying to make the best of this situation. And you'll see these lines go directly from this house straight over to the house across the street. And it's like that through this entire neighborhood. Every parallel street that is running along this fault line has lifted sidewalks, lifted homes right off the foundation. People's homes jolted some 2 feet in some directions. And that's what they're seeing here in this neighborhood. Imagine this was your family. Imagine being here and knowing that your home is built directly on top of a fault line. This was just a 6.0 magnitude. At any point, they could get that 7-8 magnitude that they're saying were 150 years overdue. And that's quite a frightening thought. A lot of these families here are just trying to pick up the pieces, trying to rebuild, ready to move on. A lot of the children were supposed to be in school, but rather than starting school this week, the elementary school had a pretty bad gas leak, and they are actually using the school grounds as a dumping site for people to empty out their homes of all of the contents that they lost. And children are kind of getting an extra day of summer here, but that's really what we're starting to see. A lot of cleanup crews, a lot of emergency response teams out here, and the community just really banding together.
It felt as though a semi hit the side of the house. A tremendously loud shudder. She woke up screaming. We were very, very lucky in that lots of stuff was dumped, but we didn't find any real damage in the home. We're beginning to find cracks now because of the aftershocks, but the neighborhood has been pretty well damaged. People are safe, so it's things that are damaged, and that's always a good thing.
It kind of felt like, you know, somebody grabbed the house and was just doing this, and it was hard, and it was scary, and you could hear noises. You know, some of the noise was from the earth moving, and some of it was from your things moving. And I lived in San Francisco for 25 years, and so I always put a flashlight near my bed, have slippers. Well, the flashlight just took off the room. We live on the street right behind this and never knew that the fault or the tributary or whatever they're calling this is right on our street. But we were really lucky, and because, you know, just we're even, you know, 6, 7, 8 houses down, and the orientation of the house and the cabinets made a big difference. The shaking kind of was east-west, and our cabinets are on the north and south wall. So they kind of shook, but nothing opened, nothing fell. This gentleman who was here before was on vacation, and his realtor, and the house was for sale, and he said the realtor went in, and as soon as she opened the door, half the neighbors came with brooms and pail bins and cleaned up. They knew he was gone. I mean, that's what NAP is about, you know, and so we're today, very resilient.
Today was the farmer's market, and in the farmer's market, they had big boards offering, you know, time and service and what you need. And it is that kind of community where the neighbors help each other. So, I mean, again, it's things, thankfully, not lives, mm-hmm. and things you can take care of.
How do you wrap your head around now knowing that this neighborhood is directly on this fault? I mean, it's a smaller fault, but, I mean, you're seeing it running right through your neighborhood.
What do you choose? Do you choose hurricanes or cyclones or earthquakes?
Or tornadoes. I can say
this is where you live, and you make do with what you've got, and you hope that you don't get clobbered.
Well, the one thing that I've lived in San Francisco for 25 years, and I've gone through Loma Prieta, and you just kind of know that, okay, the statistics are such that maybe it's every 20 years or 30 years. I was here in 2000. We had a minor quake. I mean, relative to this is a very minor quake. And you just think, okay, you know, and you fix up and do what you do. This is the first time, at least in this area, Browns Valley, we've seen any really serious structural things like this. So you just have to think, okay, statistically, you know, it might never come back on this fault. And the first one that we had in 2000, if you're living in San Francisco so long, my first fear is, this is a good one, but is this the big one? Big one. And living in San Francisco, that was literally always on your mind, the big one. You didn't hang anything over your head, you know, anything over your bed. I mean, you really were well-schooled in survival. So that was my first thought. Well, San Francisco was fine. This one, I didn't even think. I mean, I was just like, I didn't even think about San Francisco. It was so strong. I thought, if this is what's happening, I'm going to worry about it here. So.
And the truth is, you can't live your life in fear. You are where you are, and you hope that nothing will happen. And if it does, it's minimal. And you help your neighbors, and you move on.
Leanne McAdoo reporting for InfoWars.com.
Well, that's it for this edition of the InfoWars Nightly News. If you're not a member of PrisonPlanet.tv, stop by and get yourself a 15-day free trial. You can get the Alex Jones Show, the Nightly News, the special reports and the rants, and so much more at PrisonPlanet.tv. Well, I'm Jakari Jackson, broadcasting from the InfoWars Command Center, and we'll see you again tomorrow night.
The facts are in. The studies are legion. Sodium fluoride and other toxic members of the fluoride family are devastating the health and cognitive ability of the American people. So why are the social engineers adding it to the water? Simple. Dumb down the host population that the parasitic technocracy is feeding on. We may not have been able to get fluoride out of the water supply yet, but we can help to get it out of our bodies. I am extremely excited to announce the exclusive InfoWars Life Fluoride Shield formulation, fusing 6 of the best documented ingredients from around the world to help the body remove not just toxic fluoride residues from the body, but a whole host of toxic substances. Let's take a stand against the globalists by blocking their poisons with Fluoride Shield. I use Fluoride Shield every day. Secure your Fluoride Shield and other pioneering formulations at InfoWarsLife.com today. Let's start cleansing our bodies now and support the InfoWar at the same time. That's InfoWarsLife.com.
You are watching the InfoWars Nightly News, which airs 7 p.m. Central at InfoWarsNews.com. Members can share their passcodes with up to 11 other people, and your support is helping us defend liberty worldwide.